This is the 419th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter for the AJC. Today, the Falcons went down hard 23-7 as the offense continues to sputter along in London against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who had been trying to get right after dropping two games at home to the Kansas City Chiefs and last week to the Houston Texans. We'll get more on the Houston Texans later. But the Falcons, in a disappointing showing, only one touchdown in their last 33 possessions. The Falcons have problems on offense, and they bubbled over on the sidelines right before halftime against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll get into that in the podcast too later. If you are listening to the Bowtie Chronicles for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
All right, we got a lot to get to today, so let's jump right into it. Let's hear from Coach Arthur Smith on the need to get going early. They did not score again on their first possession. And let's hear from Coach about that matter.
We got to do a better job. It starts with me jump-starting the offense early. Put ourselves in a hole again. You know, different reasons, but the reality is we put ourselves in a hole. So, and we can't turn the ball over. And so that's something we all got to look at. And it's not just one person. You know, you're going to make life hard for yourself. Then you got to come back, and then you're in a four-down territory, and we don't make the fourth and three to try to cut it to one possession game late. But we got to do a better job early in games. There's no doubt about it.
All right. You know, the Falcons were battling. It was 10-0. Then Desmond Ridder's pass got picked off and returned by Darius Williams for a 61-yard touchdown. Here's Arthur Smith on the pick six that put them down 17-0.
Again, I got to look at the tape. You know, they were popping out there in zone coverage, and you know, you going in there to Drake, I believe, and got popped up inside. So he made a play on it. You know, it's a tough lesson to learn from. You know, you evaluate that. You talk about it, and then you want to give him a chance. There was a play earlier. We felt we had Kyle. Don't fault him for going to Drake. Came back to it. It's a different look. The picture's never going to be the same, but something we felt good about that had options, and I believe it was Cisco came out of the middle field and jumped it, if I'm not mistaken. So that's obviously that happened back-to-back. Thankfully, the defense made a stand there, but you're limiting your possessions. So that's what put us in a hole. And thankfully in the third quarter, we're able to do something to jumpstart D-led. But again, you're going to make life hard on yourselves when you put yourself behind like that.
Yeah, no doubt, Coach. And, you know, turnovers, you know, kill you. Three turnovers, can't get down 17-0. As you are, you know, they're still clearly trying to find their identity on offense. I got a couple of thoughts on that for us. I'll share those later. But Desmond Ridder is now, he's 2-2 this year. He was 2-2 to end last season, 4-4. You know, and Here's what Coach Arthur Smith had to say about where Desmond's head is at.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Those are tough lessons for a young quarterback. But you don't find out about yourself when you go back out there. So that's why, in the second half, he was able to push the ball down the field a little bit. I thought he operated cleaner in the pocket, and we were able to get some looks, and he was not risk adverse after that, which a lot of times that happens. But again, it goes back to the reality is we got to find a way to jumpstart early. And it's always going to start with me. We got the right guys in that locker room, but that is the reality. And the other reality is thankfully we're 2-2, and we got to get back to Atlanta, and we got to get this thing jumpstarted.
Yeah, he's got to steal a page out of the 49ers book and stick to a script that works. Sometimes you get behind, lose some yards, then you got to get off script. But he's got to come out with something that works. Also, might want to look at his good buddy, Mike Mularkey, was good about coming out there and getting going with Matt Ryan. So there's a lot of stuff to look at. Coach knows what he's going to try to do. He's got to get going. That script's got to be fire. And got to give them some plays that they can execute and win on. You got to win on those first couple plays and get the drive started. They haven't been able to get the drive started at all in any four games. Here is Coach Smith on the fourth down call.
Yeah, they went pressure. And so, that situation, we call got to have it. You're giving yourself, try to give yourself the best chance you can. They bring everybody in the middle. So we tried to get out of the pocket on it. And I believe they kind of comboed Mac and Drake and made the right read. Unfortunately, out of the back of the end zone. But that's why sometimes a look. But, yeah, obviously if it doesn't work, you need a different call.
All right, now Falcons went into the locker room down 17-0. There was a path to claw back into the game, and here's what Coach Arthur Smith told the team at halftime.
You know, different than Detroit. I thought we were a little tight, and I told guys, relax, stop pressing. We're gonna take this first drive. Let's not over try to everybody start trying to do too much. And get into this drive, and we'll come out with a positive result. And, thankfully, the guys went out there, and to their credit, they did that. Got us going a little bit. And then we got another long drive after being backed up. Credit to them. They made a play on the screen. Got undercut on the screen and got us off track, and we didn't overcome it. And then we had the long drive, I believe, right, D-led after that. And then that was in the 4th-and-3. But, again, to Michael's point earlier, when you start slow, that's going to put yourself in some really pressure situations and trying to overcome a lot.
Yeah, and that was one of the great things Matt Ryan did for 14 years for the Atlanta Falcons. One play wouldn't throw them off. The next play would be fired and pick it back up. They were great at coming out of, offside penalties or something like that and, get back on track. Ritter's inexperienced quarterback. He's got to learn that next play, you got to make something happen on the play after a bad play. You just can't be resigned to, oh, no, we're off track. We're 3-and-out. We're getting ready to punt, even though the Falcons have a great punter. So let's just move on to Desmond Ritter here. He's your quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, and here's what he has to say about starting better at the beginning of the game.
It's obviously a tough start to any game, rather than being positive. I mean, you talk about going on, kind of just throughout the first half. I did a terrible job of, taking care of the ball. Had two picks, obviously wish we could have back one pick six. And that changed the momentum huge of a game. So obviously looking back, we got to find a way to start faster, whatever that may be, however it is, that's just what we got to do. Then I got to do a better job to take care of the ball.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm going to say the coach calls the plays. He got to look at his script there, and I think he's got to tailor it to whatever's working for him. I mean, it's the pitch to Bijan. It's that counter. It's Janu running that little seam route. Hey, run that to start the game. That works. I mean, the other team knows it too, but, hey, you've been able to execute that. You know, this empty stuff on third and one, I'm not a big fan of that. Load it up, get that yard, and, you know, get in that fancy stuff later. But you know what? You have four games. You got 70-plus plays times four on what worked and what didn't work. The stuff that works, keep it. Stuff that didn't work, get rid of it. Here is Desmond Ridder breaking down his interceptions.
Yeah, that one, I mean, they you know, you go back and look, the one to Kyle was they cut the crosser, so, you know, we kind of ran a three-level read, and the safety kind of drove on it. I could have held my eyes in a better place. And then the other one to Drake, he was inside leverage, just coming back. I didn't get my eyes over there quick enough on that one. And so, yeah, I mean, it could go both ways.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, they'll figure out those interception throws. One thing, you know, we talked to the Jacksonville reporters. We asked them to say, hey, is he telegraphed? Well, the Darius Williams and Cisco, were those passes telegraphed? The Jaguars they had their hands on a bunch of balls today. One drop for sure. Near misses on a couple other picks. Looked like they were either they were gambling or they knew something. And they said they were jumping the Falcons short game, the quick game. They knew when the ball was coming out or projected it from the tapes, and they figured it was easy to read, and that was a problem for the Falcons today. So that's what, you know, Jacksonville, they were nice about it. They weren't, you know, they didn't say, oh, yeah, he's telegraphing everything. They said it was more a system check thing, that they knew the Falcons wanted to go quick game, and they were going to be there when the ball came out. So that's something that the Falcons can use. And now they know people are on their tendencies. They got to find some tendency breakers and make them pay for that. If they're going to be jumping routes, you got to block it up and get some double moves. Hey, Max Protect send some two routes to two guys on the route and keep everybody in and block it up. You know, do what you got to do to make the execution work. But those are some of the options as they move forward. Here's what Ridder had to say about the second half.
Yeah, like we said, when we don't get going early and fast, that's when you feel the press. And then we came back into halftime, you know, we regrouped, came back out, just, you know, said, got to do what we need to do. Came out that second half, was able to, you know, go down the field and get a touchdown, get some momentum back. And, you know, obviously that's something we got to figure out how to do from the jump.
Yeah, and Bijan Robinson had another great game today, and he's they started the second half like you need to start the first. So maybe they can move that, whatever happened, whatever worked there when they got the Drake London touchdown. You know, can you move that to the first half, to the first quarter? Here is what Bijan had to say about needing to start the first halves like they did the second today.
Yeah, we have to can't come into halftime and expect a halftime speech and then come out there and try to start fast, because, you know, I feel like us as pros, like, we need to go out there from the beginning of the game. And when we step on the field, like, it can't be no coming back from starting slow. We need to go out there, fire off, and be the explosive team that we know that we can be. But I understand that we got ourselves in some, you know, bad situations. But, you know, it can't matter. We gotta bounce back and just understand, you know, we gotta play hard and you know, continue to, you know, execute at a high level so we can, you know, be able to win these games.
Yeah, Bijan, we'll go through his game notes later. Another great game by the rookie. Wide receiver Matt Collins. Falcons are down 17-0 after the pick six. They come out and go deep. They got a receiver behind the defense. Ball is short. D-back drops the interception. It's 1:02 left in the first half, and Matt Collins was not happy with Desmond Ridder underthrowing him. Here is Matt Collins on his emotional outburst.
I had an emotional moment, but not with this.
Oh, okay. I might have seen it wrong, but oh, yeah. Sorry, I just saw it quickly on my phone.
Oh yeah. I put a lot of passion into this game. Like you said, we have a lot of talent on offense, defense, and special teams on this team. So to play at a level that's not our standard is frustrating. So I'll let that frustration out anytime that comes to me. You know, it's 2023, so that type of stuff is looked at as like out of control or overly emotional. I played a game because I love it. I'll compare it to family. If somebody was doing something wrong to your family and you spazzed out, are you looked at as some weirdo now? Whatever people are gonna write, but I'm gonna hold our team to a high standard, and if that standard's not met, then if that's something that I'll do, then that's something that I'll do.
Yeah, no, not on my team. You're not gonna be berating the quarterback on the sidelines. We're gonna keep that, if you're on my team, we're gonna handle that in house. I'm not gonna have that. Might explain why he's been on so many teams already. You know, football's a team thing, and one for one, one for all. Everybody's gonna mess up here and there. You can't just you can be upset. I mean, yeah, he missed you. Everybody saw it, but you can. I'm sure Desmond just saying, "My bad, I underthrew you," and you didn't have to do that. But that'll be interesting to see how that's handled the rest of the week. We got a story up on it online too on AJC.com about Mac Hollins appearing to snub Desmond Ridder, and the video's there. It's only 4 or 5 seconds. People catch it on Twitter and put it on TV. There's like one of them was saying, "Here's summing up how the Falcons fans feel about Ridder." So we'll see. People are picking sides. They're 2-2. I mean, that's where we had them at when the schedule came out. We thought they win the first two and lose the next two, but now we got them winning the next four, and that looks problematic. But we'll get into that later also. Now, Jonnu Smith had 95 yards receiving. Here's what Jonnu Smith had to say. Then he was impressed with Ridder's attitude.
Surprisingly, man, he's still motivating guys on the sideline and still telling guys, "Let's go." Rare to see out of a young quarterback. So, I don't have to say much, man. It's so easy when things is going well. Of course you're going laughing and smiles and hoorah and, trying to get guys to, go. But when things hit the fan, man, you kind of find out who that man really is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I told y'all the passing game was going to be off early. They hadn't been driving it down the field in practice like I saw Shanahan's offenses do. And, they're doing it. Some things are working. That pass was underthrown. The pass against the Pitts in Detroit was off target. They got to work those routes, get their timing down on that stuff. And Jonnu's cool. He's coming his way. That's the offense right now. It's the B. John and Jonnu Smith show. So, keep that rolling and then get the other guys going too. Then this potent offense everybody's talking about will come to form. But, you see it coming together. It's just not all clicking there. But, you got to throw away the stuff that ain't working and run the stuff that is. That counter that B. John's running looks sweet every time they run it. And he gets something out of it, making guys miss. But let's get on to Chris Lindstrom, right guard, on how to start faster.
My job as a player, right, is to focus on, all right, I got to have the most energy and highest effort and focus on my job, mm-hmm. To start the game. And so mm-hmm. to be the best I can be, but then also have energy for everybody and just focus and learn. We'll make the different corrections, but just mm-hmm. We just gotta go.
Mm-hmm. It don't look like it's that far off. Mm-hmm. It's just little execution things. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to figure out what some of the things could be to take off for you guys.
I'm not quite sure right now. Post game, mm-hmm. do that. Mm-hmm. I think some of it's going to be we'll learn from Monday and just. Just the mindset that I have now coming out of this is, just try and learn growth mindset and really come in the next couple of days, learn. And then, like I said, how can I be the best teammate, best right guard for this team? And that's just the mindset going forward is, you have to come out with great energy and doing your job right from the get-go.
Yep, doing your job. So, Chris, is always good and thoughtful in his responses, and he wants to check it out a little bit first. Now, when things like this happen to a young team, you got stuff going on the sidelines, offenses and clicking, the defense is playing well. You can get the whole offense versus defense thing. Bijan said, "Hey, we got to play complementary football." But so I always check in with the old heads because they can share wisdom and the old head in the Falcons locker room is Calais Campbell. And here's what he had to say about the assessment of the team after four games.
I think the biggest thing is we got to just, you know, settle down and play technically sound football. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's opportunities for us to make plays and win ball games, and we got to take advantage of those plays when they come. But, you know, I think the biggest message is win the next one. Going back home, big game, you know, find a way to win the next one. You know, when you lose, you get on this little, like, losing streak, when you lose two, you know, you just got to get back in the win column. That's the biggest thing, got to get back in the win column.
How big was that stop there, fourth down stop?
Yeah,
we get out the field, give teams some life.
I think that this team has a lot of fight, right? You know, mm-hmm. we're a tough team that's gonna, you know, play whistle to whistle, you know, and you know they made more plays than we did today, you know, and you know you got the tough breaks as well, you know, that's football. You know, you're gonna have some games where it's just not your day, you have some games where it is your day, mm-hmm. and but most of the time it's gonna be back and forth and last play matters. But today was just their day, you know. But I think, we play a lot of good football in moments. We got to find a way, you know, to play it all the time.
All right, that's Calais Campbell. He thinks they're okay. I think so, too. You know, after four games is when we'll start looking at the numbers and where they need to be and so forth. You know, like I said, when the schedule came out, I gave them those first two games, and I knew Detroit was going to be tough, and I knew Jacksonville – coming off their playoff run was going to be tough. But looked like you could have had them, you know, after they lost their last two games to the Chiefs and the Texans. But looked like the Texans a little bit better than everybody thought. And they're coming to town next week. So we'll finish up with a little bit on Texas and Texans. And we'll get back to them in the next podcast, 420, when we preview that game. Now, here's wanted to also talk to captains. I always try to get the captains. Grady Jarrett's one of the captains. And here's what he had to say about a couple different things here about the team. But nobody's down. But Grady, here's what Grady had to say. I'll let him talk for himself.
How tough was this one today?
Yeah, it was tough, man. Tough loss for sure, you know. You know, definitely didn't come over here for that, but, you know, we learned some tough lessons today. It's going to just make us better. But unfortunately, we came out short today, but we just got to press hard and be better.
As you're one of the veterans and captains, and, you know, y'all got a lot of young dudes early in the season, 2-2, playing the team, went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
How can y'all move forward, build on it?
I think just review the film, man, just find out where we came up short, and everybody just look in the mirror and be better, man. There's definitely some things we can be better at, and but I'm encouraged, man. I believe in this team. Mm-hmm. I believe in what we got going on. I know our best football is ahead of us, and this team, but it's going to make us better at the end of the day.
And that big stop there with you and David on fourth down, that gave y'all a little life. How did that feel? Get that play and get off the field?
Yeah, man, felt good to go out there and get a stop and just try to, you know, do what we can, you know, and control what we can. But at the end of the day, you know, we came up short, and I think everybody got something we can go back and work on and just be better for the whole team.
Yeah, you know, you can see your defense coming together, offense taking a little long, but that's usually how football goes. How do y'all, you know, just stay, keep your heads up and keep moving and getting better as a team?
That's all you can do. Yeah. That's all you can do is keep your head up, keep working. Fortunately for us, it's early in the season, and, you know, I think our best football is still ahead of us, you know, and it's easy to, you know, to – you know, see the dark in things right now, but in the end of the day, I believe it's going to make us better, and I'm excited for what that's going to look like.
All right, that's Grady Jarrett. He's encouraged and believes in the team. That's a good sign, and he's got to spread that message to the young guys, and somebody's got to get a hold of Matt Collins. TJ Yates, that's your room. Handle the business. All right, we're going to take a break. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at ajc.com/hip-hop.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Thank you all for listening. Listen to us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We have an offer for you from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We have a special offer for you. For all of our podcast listeners, if you subscribe today, you can get 6 months of unlimited digital access for just 99 cents. That's right. I said 6 months. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more on AJC.com. Plus, you get access to our e-paper and an assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. Again, that's subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. Man, that's 6 months. That's 6 months. That's a deal for you right there. Y'all need to jump on that. Let's jump on these game notes here. We're going to finish up here with game notes on the Falcons. Tip of the hat to the Texans since they're coming to town, and we're going to do the little mailbag. It's hot on the block out there on the Falcons, Twitter after that game. So we're going to look at just a couple things here from the Falcon fans on our Twitter feed after the game. Let's get to the game notes here first. All right, the offense recorded 287 total yards, 127 rushing, 6 of 12 on third downs. Defense limited Jacksonville to 5 of 14 on third down. So that's winning football. You got to keep that. Keep that, throw out the bad plays. Keep all the good stuff and build on it. They limited them with 2 field goals in the second half. But, I mean, when you're digging a 17 up, nothing hold. The offense has got to catch fire, and that just didn't happen. Cornerback A.J. Terrell served as the sixth captain. Had a rough day, deep ball penalty. He was scrambling back to Ridley on his touchdown pass. They used to go at it in practice. So he wasn't dejected. Looked at him in the locker room. He was doing okay. Bijan Robinson rushed for 105 yards on 14 carries, caught 5 passes for 32 yards. He became only the second running back in franchise history to rush for more than 300 yards in his first 4 career games with 318, joining William Andrews at 351 in 1979. Yep. He also joined Andrews as the only rookie running backs in franchise history to record 2 100 rushing games in their first 4 games. Robinson's 452 scrimmage yards are the most through a player's first 4 games since Saquon Barkley, 453 in 2018. Now, y'all know those two have been linked since the draft. Saquon went, he was the last running back to go high. At second in 2018. So that comparison was valid. Robinson didn't like people bringing it up, but statistically it's at least valid that way. He had a career long, I was waiting for him to bust one, and he busted one, and I'm waiting for him to take one to the house. But he busted a 38-yard rush on the second play of the second half, setting up the offense for a 15-yard touchdown. That was a pass from Ritter to Drake London. So that's, spring him. That's your offense right now. You got to get him, spring him, find Jonnu, and then you got to piece the other people back in there. But that's what they can do right now, and you build on that. Drake London had 3 for 28, the 15-yard touchdown, his second of the season, 6th of his career. Jonnu Smith, he matched the single-game career high with 6 receptions for 95 yards, 15.8 a pop. So keep that. Keep that in the offense. Go to it early so you can get going. It was his third career game with 6 receptions, first since week 8 of 2019 against Tampa Bay. Richie Grant, Falcons safety, tied a single game career high with 11 tackles and one quarterback hit. He on a touchdown to Ridder, to Ridley. He missed Lawrence. He got to run through him. He tried to jump. He should have just gone. If he took the penalty, but he shouldn't let that ball get out. He was blitzing, and you know you blitz and you just go and take the quarterback out. He jumped for some reason. If he kept running, he might have had him. So we'll never know. I'll ask him though when I see him in the locker room. I'm not gonna be there Monday, but we'll be back in the house on Wednesday, and that's one of the things we'll try to. I don't know if he thought he couldn't get there or whatever. You know, you got to listen to the players and ask them sometime. Nate Landman finished with a career-high 10 tackles. You know, he's starting. He's in there with Troy Anderson out. Jesse Bates III finished with the 8, a tackle for a loss, a quarterback hit, forced fumble, second of the season, and fifth of his career. So David Anyamata had 7 tackles. Him and Grady had that big stop on fourth down. He had 1.5 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, and 1 tackle for loss. Bud Dupree finished with 4 tackles, 1 quarterback hit, half a sack. His first as a Falcon, bringing his career total to 47. And Bradley Pinion, who's been the early season MVP. In my regards, I had a 4.73 hang time on his 49-yard punt. He punted 5 times, a 52.4 gross, 50.8 net, including a long of 62, and put 3 punts down inside the 20. So those are your game notes there, and the Falcons' scoring breakdown. It was 7-0. Got a field goal, went up 17-0 at halftime, Jacksonville. Falcons came out and scored, made it 7-17. Then the, they had another chance there. It was 20-7. Falcons are on the 3-yard line. They put together another drive. They punched that one in. It's 14-20. And then, hey, you know, anything can happen. But that didn't work out, and then the Jags were able to drive it down, take some time off the clock, kick another field goal, and, that's the name of the game. The offense got to put up some points. They got to get going early. Can't dig 17-point holes. That's going to get you beat every Sunday. 3 turnovers, 17-0. It's hard to overcome. Now, the Falcons' next opponent is the Houston Texans, and rookie C.J. Stroud is lighting it up. He had another big game, throwing for 306 yards and 2 touchdowns to lead the Texans to a 36 win over the Steelers. It's his second straight win for the Texans. They had just beaten the Jaguars. And their first at home since beating the Chargers December 26, 2021. Houston's 24-point win marked the largest margin of victory for them since a 57-14 win over Tennessee on October the 1st, 2010. So Stroud, drafted second overall, continued a strong start. He threw a touchdown pass to get things going in the first half as they built a 16-0 lead. So they jumped on him, and that's that they're coming to town. So C.J. Stroud, hats off to him and the Texans. They're coming to town with their new coach, D'Amico Ryans. I thought this would be a win for the Falcons. Now we'll have to reassess. But both teams are 2-2, and we'll see if the Falcons can get their offense going. The Texans certainly have gotten theirs with their rookie quarterback, C.J. Stroud. All right, now I had a couple posts after the game. I moved it here. Yeah, here we go. So, one of them was Falcons coach Arthur Smith was not happy about the slow start nor the 3 turnovers. And you had 36 comments there. And then what's coming in our weekly mailbag here is, what do y'all think about the 23-7 loss by the Falcons? How can they fix the offense? I gave y'all my thoughts on that. You got to sample size of plays that work, so run them. Don't get all pretty going empty and shotgun on 3rd and 1, and then you can't block it and get the sack. Man, go on and just hit him in the mouth and get that yard. So here we go. All right. Okay, here's Darren's. Is that Darren? Oh, Smith. Yeah, that's not my guy in Kansas City, but he says, get rid of the quarterback for starter. Trade Pitts to Kansas City. Okay. Are you people saying Heineke? What does that do for us this year? Maybe an extra win. Kills our long-term analysis. We need to stick with Ritter, for better or worse, to see his progression. Heineke is not our future. Ritter can be. Ritter is essentially a rookie quarterback. And historically, that comes with some ups and downs. No reasons to make a change. That's a voice of reason, AntCap 24. Okay, find a DeLorean, put Grady Jarrett in it, and take us back to 2016. That was the Super Bowl year. That was creative. And they got the gif of the DeLorean hitting the you know, when it would split up and go into back time. I forgot my Back to the Future language, but it's on there. Brian, your homie Brian, Taylor Heineke. It's not fair to the other players to keep playing Desmond Ritter when he's holding the team back. All right. David Sykes, Lefty Dave, 92. I have said this every game since last year. Arthur Smith's coaching style is not designed for today's game if you get behind. Our O-line sucks. I think I know what he means. But he wrote socks, so we're saying socks. We don't hardly ever throw him first down. If Arthur Blank continues to enable Smith in his dream, we will always think. That's pretty harsh. I thought the coach did a great job with some bad teams to get 7-10. And this season is off to a good start, a 2-2. That's what I had. Now they got to make some gravy, and we'll see if that happens. Austin, TGI Huey. Bench the quarterback, get some semblance of a pass attack to keep the defense honest. Paul Mooney, P. Mooney thoughts, the defense is too good to be held back by Mitter. He meant Ritter, but we know. Bench Ritter, he's horrible, man. Get rid of Ritter, and if Arthur Smith is too prideful to do that, then get rid of him as well. Y'all are harsh. Draft another skill player in the first round. That should do it. New offensive coordinator, ? Fix the O-line and send Ritter with Aaron Rodgers on one of those retreats to get those demons out of his head. All right, so there you go. We got a lot of Ritter, a lot of quarterback talk, our usual play caller. The coordinator gets thrown under the bus when you score 7 points. I know he knows that he's got to expect that. But you had some defenders of Ritter, some thoughts of reason there that, hey, you know, he's a rookie. Let him develop. Well, and then you're going to see a real rookie, on Sunday, and he's hot right now. So the Falcons better be ready to go when the Texans get in town on Sunday, 1 p.m. at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So for today, we're going to wrap up here from London. The Falcons go down 23-7 to the Jaguars. They're 2-2 and getting ready to host the Houston Texans at home. The offense has got to find their way because eventually defense is going to tire out. The Mac Holland situation is something to watch. You're trying to get everybody to pull in the right direction. I'm sure he's going to have to stand up and apologize at the team meeting tomorrow. If that happens, hopefully we'll find out about it. I won't be there, but we'll have somebody in the locker room tomorrow. So with that, we're going to get on out of here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. I'm going to ask you to take care and have a great rest of your week.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving art scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.